If you like talent, you are in the right place. Welcome back to another episode of the Talent Factor Podcast. I'm your co-host, Damian Parson, with my guy, my brother, Keith Sanchez. Baby, what's going on, man?
Mic check. Man, my mic is hot, so you know that means it's time to talk some football, DP. What's going on, my brother?
Hey, man, just enjoying. Hey, living the dream, as they say. Just living the dream, brother. You know, got some nice college football news. The weather isn't too humid down south right now for me. So I'm living the dream right now. Everything's copacetic. You know, and Keith, let's give a quick shout out before we get started. Quick shout out to our partners over at BetOnline as they continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's Wimbledon finals, Major League Baseball, and the latest fighting news. Also, even next year's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online where the game starts. Keith, I always like to pivot off of that line because I love that last line, where the game starts, right? And Keith, we got some news today.
Man, we have some news.
You know, we have some news. You know, and we had some news yesterday that we'll talk about later. But per John Wilner, who works in the Pac-12 region, sources state that USC, the Trojans, and UCLA, the Bruins, are planning on leaving to join the Big Ten Conference as early as 2024, but the move has not been finalized at the highest level of power just yet. Keith, USC, and this is kind of odd. This is crazy, the timing, right? USC just swung probably the biggest, like, offseason of college football, getting Lincoln Riley, getting Caleb Williams, you know, Mario Williams, Jordan Addison, the Biletnikoff winner, and all the different things that they've been able to do. They got Malachi Nelson is one of their five-star recruits coming in. They're having themselves an offseason.
Yeah.
Keith, if they leave, if this goes through in 2024, that's 2 years from now, two seasons from now, right? They go in and join the Big Ten. Let's just talk about the implications of that, Keith.
Man, I want to start off, and I just want to say, what are we doing, right? Like, we have two California schools that are going to the Big Ten, right? And traditionally, when I think of Big Ten football, right, you know what I think of? I think it's cold. I think a little bit of snow. I think of offensive line play. I think of, you know, Wisconsin. I think of Ohio State. I think of Michigan.
Running the football.
I think of blue bloods. I think of gray skies. You know, I think of those type of things, right? When I think of USC, yep, I think of Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart. I think of the Trojan guy. I think of sunny skies. I think of, you know, big time, just, you know, the stadium. I think it's a good time. I think of Napa Valley. What are we doing? It just simply doesn't match up. And I'm lost. I'm lost here because not only does it not fit from that perspective, right? Like when you talk about USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten and just traditionally what it means, it doesn't even work logistically. Like, the Big Ten is on one side, or, you know, you kind of your Midwest, right? Your upper portions of, uh-huh, of the United States. And then USC and UCLA, they're deep on the West Coast, right? Like, they're not just barely touching California, or they're not Arizona or possibly Washington. They're deep into California. So I have no idea where college football is at this point, and what are they trying to accomplish? Like, just scratch the whole thing. So that was, we just found this news 10 minutes ago, and that was my first reaction was, what are we doing?
Keith, you broke that down so eloquently and so just on point, brother. And I got to add, you talk about L.A. and how it's a vast difference and vast comparison to Big Ten football, right? I'm sitting there thinking, you talking about, you know, all those great things. I'm thinking about the beach. I'm thinking, yeah, about, you know, the beach, the sunny skies. I'm thinking about the beautiful weather and the palm trees and all this other stuff that LA has to offer. And then the Big Ten, like, this is a, it's a different style that, you know, the Pac-12 is more finesse football, while Big Ten is more, like you said, blue blood, country, physical, you know, offense. They value the trenches, and they value running the football for the most part. It's a difference. But that's, I'm not going to lie, Keith, as a football fan, I think about the matchup yearly of seeing Lincoln Riley and Ryan Day cross the sidelines. You know what I'm saying? Big Ten championship game. Depends on where it depends on if they have, you know, how they do the whole conference thing, right, and all, you know, right, divisional, talk, whatever, talk, whatever. Talk,
you're starting to give me the buy-in a little.
So, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you have, because, you know, you think about what Ohio State has and what they're doing, got all these receivers, you know what I'm saying? The quarterbacks, they continue to recruit well there right now. And Lincoln Riley's going to bring in his blue blood, his five-star, his, you know, his movie stars coming to L.A. And I'm thinking about the Big Ten, the Big Ten championship, or Big 12, whatever it'd be called at that time. Like, their conference championship could have USC versus Ohio State, maybe a Michigan versus a UCLA, or, you know what I'm saying? So now, and you know me, I've always complained that this conference can never find quarterbacks. Like, right, they find everything else. They get defense, they get running backs, they get receivers. And it's like, you know how hard it is to evaluate a receiver in the Big Ten for Iowa? Like, it's frustrating. Ask our guy Kyle Krabs. Like, it's difficult. So I'm just like, for me, it's like, okay, let me get some high octane offense that's not Ohio State in the building. And I'm thinking about these matchups, potentially what we can see, the clash of some titans right before our eyes, and it won't even be in the playoffs, man.
Yeah, okay, so really, I'm kind of backing off the ledge just a little bit, right? Like, and it's only because I get to possibly every year see a USC versus Ohio State matchup, you know, and from that standpoint, like, that's nice, right? But that's 1 week out of 12. Like, you know, I still have to watch,
right?
I still have to watch a UCLA and Rutgers game. I don't want to watch that.
Oh,
I, like, that doesn't appeal to me at any moment, whether it's in UCLA and that in Los Angeles, or whether it's in at Rutgers, right? I don't want to watch that game. So it's
we're
snatching,
brother,
big time players. And I said, okay, how does this benefit the schools, right? And if this is just a money grab, then scratch the idea, scratch the whole NCAA, and make it, you know, make sense as far as money grabs. Because when Texas and Oklahoma, they're slated to go to the SEC, right? At least on a map, right? When you put a map in front of me, Texas is right next to Louisiana, which is right next to Mississippi, which is the entire SEC, right? Makes sense. Oklahoma right, is right there above Texas, right? And it's right there. You dip down. Mm-hmm. They've traditionally recruited the same states. But when you think about USC and UCLA, trying, like, and you get into these inter, I guess, conference battles for players, right? Like, what's the middle ground, right? Like, is USC and UCLA going to battle with Ohio State and Michigan and all these other schools for a kid in Illinois or something? Like, what, you know, how does it bring on the rivalry? You know, like, just because college football, right, is more than just the play on the field. Like, it becomes the recruiting battles. And, man, remember, I can't remember the name of the linebacker. It might have been Reuben Foster, right? And I think he's from Alabama. Mm-hmm. And he went and got the University of Auburn tattoo on him and then flipped to Alabama, right? Horrible decision by the kid. Just top-notch bad decision.
Right.
I couldn't think.
Terrible decision.
Top five bad decision, right? But it went into the history of the Iron Bowl, you know, because they're fighting over the same kid, yeah, to know that that kid could have been on either side of the rivalry. So when you think about the USC, UCLA, like, all I could think of is money. And then if I could think of that, then I'm saying, you know what? Listen, dollar bill, y'all, cash rules, everything around me. I agree with it 100%.
Cream.
Yeah, but let's find a better way to go about this than just snatching schools from across the country. And that's my take on that.
Keith, And I'm with you 100%. The other intriguing aspect to this, right? If this goes down, with that, from a recruiting standpoint, not so much UCLA, because I think UCLA is kind of, you saw what they were this past season. They were a power football team. Yeah. Like, from the trenches, everything. Like, Zach Charbonnet, Britton Brown, they got both recruit, you know, Britton Brown from Duke, Zach Charbonnet from Michigan, and they were a punch-you-in-the-mouth football team. And if they kept that type of mantra and that type of mindset, they'll be fine for this transition. But USC is not built like that, right? They're finesse, man. I'm talking about they're Golden State Warrior-esque. Like, they're trying to three-pointers. You know, we're not going to be – I'm talking about the early days before they became more of a physical defensive team. It's finesse. It's three-pointers. It's all those things. USC would have to, because you think about a team that wants to throw the ball going into Michigan late in the year, and it's snowing, right? Like, it's snowing out, and it's like it's windy, it's cold, it's at 12 o'clock noon Eastern time. Like, this is a disservice to your players. Like, this is a disservice to your players. Like, you got these kids coming from cushy L.A., traveling to this cold Detroit Steel City, and Michigan's going to run the football, right? You know what I'm saying? They're going to have some burly back in the backfield that they're going to hand that ball off 35 times to, and now you got to be able to play physical, tough football, which you probably haven't played all season long. So it's like, this is different. Heck, even going into Iowa, Keith, same thing. Night game. It's cold. It's rainy. It's freezing. Like, this is not USC football. So they would have to change the way that they would have to, I would say, build their team in a way. Focus more on the trenches. Focus more on defense, Keith.
Yeah, I agree. And if I'm Lincoln Riley, I'm telling you, I didn't sign up for this. I did not sign up for this. When y'all pitched me on leaving Oklahoma, y'all told me that I was going to have a house in California. Y'all told me that I would travel the West Coast. Y'all did not tell me, like you said, that I would be standing on the sideline and it's 5 degrees snowing with a little bit of hail mixed in and I have to try to beat Iowa. Y'all didn't tell me that, right? Y'all didn't tell me my version of this spread offense and the air raid combined and my Heisman quarterbacks are going to have to go into these elements. So if I'm Lincoln Riley, I'm angry, at to say the least, right? I'm like, I want no parts of this. And
yeah.
I even think about the structure of the Big Ten. And correct me if I'm wrong, right? But I believe that they're broken down into two divisions, obviously. And I believe that Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan and Penn State, I believe, are all in one division, right? Or I know that it's extremely tilted as far as all of their bigger names, right? So the question is this. Do you put USC and UCLA on the opposite side and try to balance it? And then now you know you're going to get a USC versus Ohio State conference, you know, kind of conference championship game every year? Or do you put them on the same side with those guys, and then now they're just beating each other up? So it has so many different levels to things that they have to figure out. And like I said, I'm not in on it. I'm out on this idea. I'm out.
my guy's like, yo, I'm jumping off the cliff. I'm done. Like, I'm finished with this. I can't. And no, I'm with you. Because, again, like, and if they were, like, they could not, for the benefit, and they had to think for the benefit of the conference. If we put all these jokers in the same division, they beat up on each other. Like, they're gonna be a wounded animal going into the playoff scenario, right? Like, they've been in a war zone, a gauntlet all season, battling each other for that divisional supremacy. Then you gotta win a tough conference championship game after being all beaten up on each other. Like, yeah, no, I would absolutely, if this goes through, they have to put them in the opposite division to balance it out and make it as competitive as possible. But at the end of the day, this is definitely, I mean, talk about things you didn't expect to wake up to today. Yeah, like, this was not it for me. I was not expecting this.
I just thought of something else, too, right? Because in recruiting and, you know, just bring it back to that, right? Like, there is something when you talk about conference prestige, right? And why kids choose to go to different universities over the other, right? And right now, the Big Ten is levels above the Pac-12, right? Just as far as conference prestige and, you know, just how they view it. And now you're going to tell me, like, if I'm a kid, right, and I can possibly go to a Wisconsin, a Penn State, or a Michigan State, right? Like, because even if I'm those schools, think about this, and I'm a decent football player, if I'm in the Big Ten, why wouldn't I just want to go to USC, right? Like, it's sunny out there majority of the time. You know, it's a better environment. It's a bigger program. You know, and I can still be a part of the Big Ten prestige, right? Like, I still get to be on TV and, you know, just those different things. So, like I said, even if you're not thinking about Ohio State, but even if I'm Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, I'm still kind of like, nah, I don't want to do this. So it's going to ruffle a lot of feathers, and I'm more than sure it's going to ruffle feathers on both sides of the fence.
Oh, without question, it's definitely going to create some uneasiness on both sides of the spectrum, and it's just going to be interesting if this gets passed. But guys, it has to go through the powers at the highest levels per the tweet. So we're going to wait and see what that looks like and how that turns out. But man, you talk about a shakeup in college football, Keith. Like, hey, man. Like, we're getting closer to the season, so they're giving us more things to look forward to for these discussions, because that was definitely not something I planned on today. And yesterday, Keith, talking about something else I wasn't expected to hear, the ACC has announced a new scheduling model that will take effect for next season, the 2023 season, next year. The league is eliminating divisions and instead moving to a model with three permanent opponents and two separate five-team rotations that will flip every year. Instead of sending division winners, the two teams with the highest conference percentage will play in the ACC championship game. Keith, this is I mean, there's a couple conferences that have already done something similar to this, done away with the whole divisional aspect of it, and just played as one full division, one full conference rather than two separate divisions. But how are we feeling about this? You know, because like per the stuff that I've read, they said that Georgia Tech would have the most difficult permanent schedule with like Clemson, Louisville, and Wake Forest as their permanent rivals, and Pittsburgh would actually have the easiest schedule. How are we feeling about this change to the ACC schedule?
I'm going to get to that point and address that, but for me, this is the ACC hitting the panic button and smashing the button down, and that's because they've realized that their conference isn't balanced throughout. The same thing the Big 12 did, right? Like their conference, some of those teams you have in your conference, they have no shot at winning, right? But you need those teams to be in there, but then you also, for championship rights and TV rights and everything, you need your big-time players to be in those conference championship games. And I'm like, and so To explain what I'm saying, so if you have a uneven division, right, and, you know, you throw in Clemson, Florida State, whoever, like all of your top teams are in one division, and then on the other division you have a Wake Forest and a Louisville and, you know, a North Carolina, right? So now your conference championship game is now Clemson versus a Wake Forest team that came out of nowhere. That's not a attractive championship game, right? And they know that. And guess what? Right. There have been reports that the conference championship games for some of these teams are just not that big. Like, nobody cares anymore, right? Especially with the implementation of the playoffs right behind the conference championship games. Nobody is valuing those conference championship games. What's the one way to value them? You have to put the best teams, right? You have to put the best teams with the biggest fan bases, with the biggest followings, so that way people tune in, you know, and that way you can continue those TV rights, but then also getting people to attend those games, right? Because it costs money when you talk about stadiums and, you know, just all of these different things that go into putting on a game. So you need the butts in the seats also. And I think the only way for them to get that is to scratch the division model, go to one unified conference, and much like the Big 12 does, just let those two teams replay each other. And I think in the old way of thinking is that, hey, you know what? We don't want to see repeat matchups, right? Like that was kind of the old way. Like we want to see something fresh, something new. That's what they thought fans wanted. But essentially, fans want to watch good football. So if it's the second time around, you want to see it. Like we liken it to the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Golden State Warriors, right? Those were one of the most watched finals. They played each other, I believe, four times in a row. And guess what? People tuned in all four times to watch it. So this is just about the commissioners of these conferences realizing that, you know what? At the end of the day, we got to put the best product on the field in order for the fans to tune in.
No, you're right. And to that point, you know, I would say this would be just a message to the ACC boosters. You quoted Cream earlier. Cash rules everything around me. They better start throwing out some cash and getting these NIL deals to get some better players in their conference. Like, because at the end of the day, that's one of the biggest things, right? Like, I live in the South. You know how many times I had to sit there and watch Clemson just roughshod whoever was in the ACC championship game, the conference championship game? Like, you need to get more competitive too. So it's like this, I like the model. I like this change to every point you just put out. Like, let's figure this out to make it more competitive, because nobody's going to watch if, right now Clemson has, of course they have a great defense, but offensively, we don't know what they're going to be like this year. We don't know if DJ Uliagalelei is going to be the starter, or is it going to be Cade Klubnik, the young kid. We don't know what this offense is going to be. So it's like, are they still the perennial powerhouse? Is it Boston College who has some players on their offense and defense? Florida State or Miami? Like, with so much changing right now, they have to figure this out. Because for me, I need the U to be back, Keith. I need it back. I need the U. I need the Chop. I need Tallahassee. I need, you know what I'm saying? When they come out on that horse and they throw that whatever it is. I don't know what the thing actually is. A staff. I don't know what it is. But when they throw it down in the middle of the field, I need to feel hype about it, because I know good football is following it. Because I feel like you set me up to drop me down, and then I sit there and watch piss poor football from FSU for like a 10th year in a row. So I need them to figure that part out too. But Keith, I want to pivot real quick off of this scheduling format change. And we both know, you've worked in college football, been a fan of college football. We both understand why the schedules are done so far advanced the way that they do them, right? But Keith, I have a proposition. I feel like they should handle their schedules year to year. Now, I get it. You got TV deals. You got money's involved heavily with this. But I look at the NFL's model and how they do their, you know what I'm saying? Like, NFL Network makes a buttload of money off of views for the schedule release, right? Every offseason, the draft's over. The following week, we got the NFL schedule release. And it's like timed perfectly. Everybody's tuned in. People are talking about who they're marked. Players are tweeting about it. Fans are tweeting, circling and marking down key marquee games. And I'm looking at college and I'm like, oh man, we get Clemson and Oregon 2027. I don't know who's going to be on these teams in 2027 for me to even care or be invested. Let's do it year to year. After the season, you have your people, which is the NCAA. They don't actually work together the best. We know that. We see how NIL isn't working the way it should, because they didn't really figure that out before they put it in place. But I would like to see a committee come together in the offseason. All right, this is going to be the schedules for that conference, right? Whether it's including non-conference games and the conference games. Let's get some of these matchups while we still have these top-tier players at these top-tier programs. You think I wouldn't be, granted, we may see it in the playoffs, but I would love to see Caleb versus Bryce to kick, right. You know what I mean, to kick the season off. I, you know what I'm saying? I would love to see that. I would love to see CJ Stroud versus another top quarterback, Jackson Dart, over at Ole Miss. You know what I'm saying? With their talented roster that Lane Kiffin has put together. Let's see some of these teams. I don't want to hear about it in 2028, man. Like, this has driven me crazy for years, Keith. Like, it's driven me nuts because I'm just like, okay, I understand the money. But, guys, why do you think I'm going to be excited about this? I don't know what freshman is going to be on this. Who's going to be the quarterback in 2028? No one knows. You don't know. That quarterback don't even know. Nobody knows.
No, I agree. And I think that's you know what this made me think about, too, with just NCAA, is how hard it is to get excited about a college basketball team for the next year. Because you don't know who's going to be on the team, right? Like, you have no idea. Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, they consistently just reload. So you have no idea. Unless you follow high school basketball, there's no way possible that you can get excited about Duke next year until their incoming freshmen come in and they play good, right? But it's the same thing, like you said, with the scheduling, right? And you schedule these games so far out. And honestly, times they dud, right? Like, I know that LSU plays Florida State this year. When they scheduled that game, I'm more than sure Jimbo Fisher was probably still at Florida State. You know what I'm saying? And then LSU was a prominent. Now it's a okay game, right? Something that could have been a top-notch premier game was just a okay game. So I agree with you 100%, and it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know what, I want to watch the best teams play each other. It can be a little bit of a mismatch, like you said, like and something unique and timing wise that people want, like the LSU UCLA game last year, right? That was some LSU fans' first time traveling to UCLA, but it was also a good matchup, right? It wasn't that LSU was this powerhouse team and then UCLA was just coming off a 2-10 season. They were evenly matched teams. Then guess what? They played an evenly matched game, and then it turned out really good. Mm-hmm. And that's what it should be, right? Like, it should be, you know what? Like, just how they have the playoff committee, have a scheduling committee. You know, to where it's like, you know what? These are the best teams, and then these are the second-tier teams. These are the third-tier teams. And let's intertwine a couple of these games. And I'm not saying that scratch every division and every conference, but those first 2 to 3 games out the season, let's get some cross-conference matchups to where we know for sure, like, okay, these are a couple good matchups right here that for this reason, it would be intriguing. Like, right now, we're in the process of doing our summer scouting, right? And this should go into it.
Mm-hmm.
I know Florida has Anthony Richardson, right? Anthony Richardson is a pretty doggone good football player, right? And then I have, on the other side, mm-hmm. I have Bo Nix at Oregon. Two dual threat quarterbacks, solid programs, supposed to be good in the trenches. Let's meet somewhere in Texas, Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Let's kick off the Oregon Ducks versus the Florida Gators, right? I can sell that. That, right. I think that sound pretty good, and I'll be willing to attend that game.
I'm all in.
And you can just, you know, you can I'm just consistently in. Do that. And let me go, and I'm going to just continue making points about this. College football is extremely unbalanced, meaning that the SEC rules college football. If you're mad and angry about their statement, tell your college to do something about it, right? But they can't. But SEC college football, and you know it. Everybody knows it. You see me, DP. I have a national championship ring from LSU. I have an SEC championship ring. Which one do I wear more? The SEC championship. You want to know why? Because the SEC championship is the national championship. And to my point is that this, the college football has become so unbalanced in the sense of the fact of that all of the talent is in the SEC. So how do you kind of balance this out? You have to introduce different schools to the SEC. So back to my LSU-UCLA point, meaning that when kids cut on the TV and I'm a 4-star, 5-star prospect, and I have the preconceived notion that, you know what, the SEC rules superior and they're supreme over every conference, right? So I'm going to LSU. Now I see UCLA beat them. Now I'm like, oh, wait, hold on. UCLA is a pretty decent team also, so I want to give them a shot. So if college football has once any chance at balancing college football, they need to do these cross-conference games because right now all of the talent is centralized, and then every time they say you get to a national championship, it's either an SEC team versus whoever is an SEC team versus an SEC team in a national championship. So college football definitely needs to, in order to save themselves, right, to save themselves from the SEC, they need to revamp and rethink this scheduling.
No, bro, listen, that soliloquy was perfect because it hit so many points. Listen, I got to give you a clap because I'm speechless because it made so much sense, Keith. And when you think about, like, think about the playoff just stigma, right? You said, and you put it perfectly, it's either SEC versus somebody else or SEC versus SEC. So you think about putting, like I said, Ole Miss or versus Ohio State. Let's say Ole Miss knocks off Ohio State, right? Well, what does that do for the playoff committee? Then that puts more pressure on Ohio State to run the table. Now you can't lose to Michigan. You know what I mean? You can't lose to Michigan State. You got to win now. Like you know what I'm saying? You got to win all the rest of your games. And then you think like the topic we just talked about with if USC and UCLA goes to the Big Ten and makes it a bigger conference. Now you got more competition to where, okay, if I run the table in my division and I get to the Big Ten, a big whatever championship game, I got to knock off USC or UCLA or, you know, it just makes it. It makes things mean more. It makes things matter more. But then let's say you schedule a Bama versus, I don't know, like you put Bama versus Texas going to the SEC, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Well, because this year we got Texas and Bama. Dear God, if Texas somehow pulls that out, which I don't think it will because of the O-line and Will Anderson is going to destroy everything, but him and Dallas Turner. But if they were able to, think about what that does for Bama's playoff chances, right? Now Bama's like, okay, that Jimbo game, it means not just bragging rights and all the offseason chatter about who paid who and all that stuff, but what it also means is we can't lose to Texas A&M and Texas. Right. Like, that's not going to be a good look. You know what I'm saying? Because then you look at it like, okay, then you get to the SEC championship game, and you know that the voters, but like you said, SEC runs college football, there's a chance that the voters may still lean towards a two-loss Bama team over a one-loss like Michigan or somebody. But dear God, you go in the SEC championship game, and you lose again. It's like, bro, Bama's a three-loss team. There's no way we can do this. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's all about flipping the narrative, creating parity, as Nick Saban claims he wants. So it's like it's so the scheduling, man, like it plays such a prominent role in college football, from recruiting, as you stated, all the way to who to the schedule to actually who plays who and how that impacts who's viewed as highly as they should. Because if you played, because I mean, beating a Mississippi State team that's not very good, for me, that does nothing if it's Alabama. So right. Put Mississippi State on Michigan's schedule at the start of the season. Give them that, like you said, give them that SEC kind of bragging rights. So I just knocked off the same team that Bama knocked off, and actually, we put more points up, we held them to less points. We already let you know that we can hang. You know what I mean? Let's go ahead and remove some of the excuses and stigma for the SEC bias.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought of, and not only SEC bias, this is another thing that this would answer, right? From this kind of cross-conference scheduling, letting a committee do it. So this past year and previous years before, right? There's always a group of five team that, you know, they run the tables, and it's always like, man, should they, should they enter into the playoffs, right? And this year, we let Cincinnati in, right? And I was not for it. I'm like, I promise you, this is a mismatch. And especially if they're going to play as the fourth seed, and they're going to play Alabama, they're going to lose that game, right? And I think Alabama allowed them to lose with as much dignity as they possibly could, right? Because if they wanted to, they could have tried to throw it all over the lot and put up 50 to 60 points on it. But what I'm saying is this. Let's not try to wait to the end of the season to answer that question. Why not answer that question week two and force Cincinnati to play a team you just bought up, Ole Miss, right? A Cincinnati-Ole Miss game, a middle-of-the-tier SEC school to see, you know what? Let's see how y'all play. And then we get to see Desmond Ridder go up against the SEC defense to know if you really can perform at that level and know if those Cincinnati players are true, you know, like top-of-the-line football players. And that way we have that test. We don't wait and waste a college football playoff spot on a possible experiment, right? I want you to experiment in week one, week two, and week three. By the time we get to the college football playoffs, I want the best teams. I don't want to experiment and see what might happen. And then what happens is what everybody thought was going to happen. And that's that Cincinnati loses to the one seed. And then this is the other issue. We still don't really know how good Cincinnati was, right? Because watching that game, it was a very underwhelming game. So you don't know if Cincinnati was just a little bit worse than Alabama, or were they, you know, shouldn't have been on the field with Alabama, or, you know, like, where did they still fall? Because the rest of the teams that they beat, they just wasn't that good. So you don't know if they deserve a top 20 ranking, a top 15 ranking, or a top 5 ranking. You have no idea, because just that one test against Alabama is not a proven resume to say, you know what, this group of 5 school, I fully feel confident about their ability to be above these Power 5 schools that play in tougher conferences.
Bro, 100%. And even to add to that, you think about what that does for the draft process too. We just saw Sauce Gardner go, what, top 5 or whatever he went, and he went at number 4 to the Jets. And the stigma was, well, quarterbacks were afraid of him. They didn't want to really target him. Yeah, because they didn't have a receiver to test him. But yeah, you put him a game or so against SEC and Big Ten, oh, he going to be tested early, yeah, right?
No,
like,
no choice.
You think about him trying to travel and deal with these SEC athletes and these Big Ten receivers on a common ground. It's not, like you said, it's not, hey, let's wait till the end of the season. Let's put these guys on the spot. Desmond Ridder, you got to deal with SEC defense. I think you brought this up when we first started this show. One of the points I remember you making, it was always factual. The biggest difference between conferences is the trenches. It's the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. SEC have grown men that can manhandle a lot of these other conferences' offensive and defensive lines. Heck, Cincinnati went into that game and played 3-down linemen. They played a 3-3-5 stack. For whatever reason, I don't know, knowing darn well Alabama had the offensive line to run all over you. And you had a 280-pound zero tech. Good job. Like, that's your game plan, and it failed. But at least we get to see that early. And you know what I'm saying? You put Cincinnati, even this year, you put Cincinnati versus Ole Miss this year, we get to see, can you stop Zach Evans and Ulysses Bentley and Jackson Dart? Probably not, but at least we get to see it. So then we can go ahead and wipe that off, like you said, wipe it off the board. Go up to that dry erase board, erase Cincinnati's name. They can't hang. You know what I mean? So it's like, just put that. So the scheduling issue has so many different compartments of what it impacts and affects. So listen, man, it got me hype. It got me hype, man, because I absolutely hate the way that they do their schedule. And I just wanted to change, but we all know it's not going to. But, you know, it was a good discussion for the day. But, it, you know, as always, you know, that's our show. Appreciate all the love and support, everybody. Continue to find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Leave, subscribe, download, share, leave a 5-star review. And of course, as always, shout out to our partners over at BetOnline. Go make some money. Got Wimbledon, Major League Baseball. You can, and the NFL's like 10 weeks away, legit. Like, I'm counting. It's 10 weeks away, guys. Go get ready to make some money, because there's a lot of money to be made. But Keith, as always, brother, I love these discussions. I'm Damian Parson. That's my guy, Keith Sanchez. And what's the slogan, baby?
Talent is always the factor.